If you ever cast your eye out to Dublin Bay, you'll see car ferries coming and going to the UK at all times of the day and night. Ferry traffic is a mainstay of Dublin Port, and most of us are familiar with the comforts, the restaurants, the cabins of modern ships. But below decks, there's another world. On a crossing from Holyhead to Dublin, Radio 1's Michael Lawless got a tour of Stena Line's Stena Adventurer, where he met the second engineer, Russell Haswell, below deck in the control room.
Watertight doors all the time. Part of life, just got to get used to it.
Actually, so explain the watertight door to me.
So the ship is subdivided into watertight compartments for safety in the event of flooding. But to go from one compartment to another, there's a hydraulically operated door. They're very powerful doors, and you have to be very careful with them. And they're slow to operate, so you have to operate them on the handle. The bell rings, and you wait for 30 seconds of life. And then you go through, and you wait for another 30 seconds of life to close it again. Here we're in the engine control room, the ECR as we call it. And this is the heart of control operations for everything to do with the machinery and the engineering on board ship. So in front of us, you can see there's a series of computer screens. And through that, we can monitor everything the plant is doing. All the temperatures and pressures, electrical power, you know, the ship's propulsion. You'd also see there's a lot of old-fashioned type dials there. At one time, those dials would have been connected with a load of copper pipework, and you know, that isn't the case anymore. It's all electrical wiring. Those are just repeating the digital signals from the computer. You can also see in the centre of the control console there, this is what's called the telegraph. So perhaps people might be familiar in the old days. You know, there was the big telegraph indicator, you know, the bell that rings, ding, 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 half a head and all that. One of the things that has changed in the last sort of 20, 30 years is that the bridge have direct control now. So when they push the sticks to make the ship go forward, they control the engines directly.
In old times, they used to call down, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right, the old speaking tube, you know, half a head. You see at the back of the room here, there's a large set of electrical panels, and inside of that is the computer, the automation system. And the joke is that that's the best engineer on the ship. It doesn't get tired, it doesn't get emotional, it doesn't make mistakes. It just sits and watches and controls things all the time. It's our job to make sure it does the right thing.
We're on the RC at the moment. We're heading for Dublin.
That is right.
And how is the ship performing, and what are the dials we're seeing?
Right, so we've got four main engines on board the Stena Adventurer here, and they're both working more or less full percentage at the moment. So you can see the dials there are showing us things like revolutions per minute of the engines, so that's 550 revs. You can see things like the temperatures and pressures of the lubricating oil and the compressed air and the cooling water. So all of these dials have a green section in them, and so long as the pointer is inside of that green section of the dial, we know that just at a glance it's reading the correct value. And so you can see on the computer screen next to the dials, all of that is green. There's no red flashing light, and so we can see that everything's healthy, everything's working as it should.
And once an engine begins possibly to overheat, you'll start seeing a red flashing light, will you?
That's right. So as we're standing here, we might get a beeping noise, an alarm, and the computer will tell us if something goes out of range. Yeah, and that could either be, you know, something is actually wrong. It could sometimes be a sensor fault. It does happen. But yeah, the computer will tell us straight away if there's a problem to be solved, and then we can go address that.
Now, if you go onto the Stena Line website, you'll see that this boat is pretty much underwater 364 days of the year.
That's right.
What about maintenance of these engines, because you have four of them?
Okay, so one of the great strengths of this ship is that we have a lot of flexibility. We've got four engines, but we can run on three and more or less maintain the schedule. So in terms of like major maintenance, when we have to take an engine down for we take all the pistons out and rebuild the thing, we can maintain schedule with a little bit of 5-10 minutes delay here and there, but with the three engines working hard, we can more or less maintain it. A lot of the day-to-day maintenance, the more incidental stuff, the regular stuff, we can do that in the few hours we have in port. And every day we have 2-3 hours in Dublin, in the evenings, and so we can get a lot done with planning and with teamwork, which is really important. We can do most things alongside in Dublin.
You mentioned teamwork because you're not the only person here in the engine room. So tell me about maybe the team that you will have in the engine room.
Okay, so at the top of the tree we have the chief engineer, and he's my boss. Very, very nice chap he is too, because I have to say that. And then we have, because it's a 24-hour operation, we have a chief engineer and we have there's the alarm.
Okay, do you want to tell me what's happened?
So that alarm was just the computer saying that it's detected a minor fault on the electrical wiring, and it's cleared again. So if that happens again, we'll eventually find where the fault is, but it's nothing to worry about.
Okay, for another while.
Yeah, so we have a chief engineer during the day. We also have what's called the night chief engineer. So he covers the night hours as the boss. Then there's myself, the second engineer, who's sort of the day-to-day boss, you might say. And then we have four what we call watchkeeping engineers. So they work a rotating shift pattern, working 12 hours at a time, and they work midnight, midday, midday, midnight, or 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And that's as a rolling shift pattern. And it's their job to be here to do all of the what we call watchkeeping, maintaining and monitoring the plant and doing any incidental work that. And the, some of the planned maintenance work as well. And on top of that, we also have two electricians, and they support us all the time with their kind of specialist expertise in electrical work as well.
Now, Russell, I'd normally ask you to show me the engine room, but we're currently running, and it's extremely loud in there, as I found, so I won't be able to record. So you might tell me a little bit about the engines and the four of them that you have in there.
Right. So if we go through the door into the edge room, what we see is the port side engine room. So we have two main engines in there, and everything is duplicated on the starboard side. We have large four-stroke engines. So there are nine cylinders each, and they're about 7,500 horsepower each. Two engines will drive into a large mechanical gearbox, and that steps the speed down. So that steps the rotational speed from 550 revolutions per minute down to 150 revolutions per minute to the propeller. So then after the gearbox, you've got a long propeller shaft, and then you've got at the end what's called a controllable pitch propeller. So people might be more familiar perhaps with aircraft propellers. They spin at the same speed and they change the pitch, the angle on the blades of the propeller. And we have the same system, it's just on a much grander scale. So it means you can keep the propeller turning at the same speed all of the time, and we just vary the speed of the ship by changing the pitch of the propeller blades. And also we can go backwards, so we can run astern as well by putting negative pitch on. In the engine room, what you'll see that surrounds the engine room is all the things that we need, all the bits of ancillary and auxiliary machinery we need to feed the beast in the center of the engine room. So an awful lot of our effort is supplying fuel to the engines, because the fuel we have is what's called residual fuel, which you take your crude oil from the ground, you take all the refinery takes all the petrol, the diesel, the lubricating oil, all the good stuff out of it, and then we're left with the residue with the bottom of the stack, and it's a very thick black oil, so we have to clean that before we can burn it. So we have a whole series of plant that cleans and filters the fuel, and then we deliver that to the engine hot and, you know, runny, ready to inject into the cylinders. But we also have to provide things like cooling, so with that comes heat exchangers and all the cooling pumps that surround around the engine. One of the side effects of burning heavy fuel is the lubricating oil inside the engine becomes quite dirty, so we have to clean and filter the lubricating oil. So we have all the ancillary machinery for that that also surrounds the engine. So although you've got the enormous machine in the middle, all of the space around it is crammed with machinery that services that one thing. Yeah.
Let's talk about steering the ship.
Okay, so the ship is steered by the large rudders at the back end. is hydraulically actuated, so they've a lot of powerful hydraulic units. When the ship is being manoeuvred in and out of port, the bridge, the navigation officers up there, they're actively controlling that. They're steering the ship in an active way. Once the ship is on passage, that is more controlled by an automatic pilot. So they will plot the course, and the ship will follow the course automatically. So in the old days of having somebody permanently standing at the wheel, receiving orders all of the time, that's long since it's gone. Again, the computer is in charge, but the navigator is always there on the bridge, ready to take over in the event of the unexpected. One of the challenges of having a ship with like 1,500 people on board is we have all the challenges of a small town. So that includes things like providing hot and cold fresh water, sewage collection, sewage treatment and drainage. So we'll go to the forward machinery space now, and we'll see a little bit of the plant that supports the passengers and the hotel. Well, we're now in what is literally the bowels of the ship. We don't get any lower than this. We're in what's called the pipe tunnel. And on our right-hand side, you can see all of the fuel tanks. We can store about 1,500 tonnes of fuel. On the left-hand side, you can see all of the ballast tanks that help keep the ship upright. Yeah. And so you can see right down the length of most of the ship here with all the pipework for fuel and ballast and steam heating and things. Running.
I suppose, Russell, we're in an era where we're more mindful of fuel and global warming, and I'm wondering what savings do you do on board to ensure you don't waste fuel and to minimise it where possible?
Yeah, this is one of these cases where commercial goals go hand in hand with environmental goals. Fuel's expensive, so waste is more cost, so it's in our interest. So in terms of the operation, we have a schedule to keep. We can leave port and we can go as fast as we can and get there early, but that's a waste of fuel. So what we'll do is we will reduce speed to arrive on time at the scheduled time. That keeps the customers happy, and it means we're not wasting fuel. And it means you're working in partnership with the wind and the tide and the waves with you. Well, Michael, that ends the tour of the machinery spaces of the Stena Adventurer. We'll be in port in Dublin in about an hour and a quarter's time, and wish you a safe onward journey.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for our tour for Seascapes.
Thanks to Michael Lawless on board the Stena Adventurer with engineer Russell Haswell.